Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. My first guest today is Grant Deltz. He's the Associate Director for the Libertarian Republic and Liberty Viral. He's the Political Action Director for LP Texas. Grant, welcome to the show.
Arvind, good to be with you.
Let's talk about, there's a lot of things I want to talk about, but first I want to talk about Texas particularly. What are some of the recent successes you guys have had in terms of, you know, ballot access and all that kind of stuff? I know there's a lot going on in there.
Well, recent successes, you know, we haven't really had very many. That's why we are really putting our nose to it, and we are working very, very hard this legislative session. And, you know, we have some very key points we want to hit on.
What are the key points you want to hit on?
Well, we want to hit on some election reform.
Okay.
Ballot access.
Okay.
And there's, many other things that can apply to libertarian philosophy, such as ending civil asset forfeiture, legalizing marijuana, right to try, right to die, things like that.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that, a couple of those issues. I mean, civil asset forfeiture has been getting a lot of attention, but what's wrong with it? Why is it bad? Aren't we just taking money away from criminals? Isn't that kind of a good thing?
Well, you know, whether you're a criminal or not a criminal, does it really give the state the right to steal from you? It doesn't. I don't believe it does. And, you know, we're actually going to be indirectly working with the Stonegate Institute on this. The Stonegate Institute, they want to help in civil asset forfeiture in Texas as well. We had a bill introduced, and we expect it to really have a fighting chance. So we want to put the weight that we can behind it, and we really want to see what we can do. And frankly, from my personal opinion, I think we can have some really good progress and make some waves.
Now, one of the interesting things that you just mentioned is the idea of marijuana legalization. One of the common complaints that people have is they say that, you know, there's some states where marijuana legalization is never going to happen. Do you believe that Texas is such a state? Do you believe that marijuana legalization is impossible in Texas?
You know, I really don't. I really do not believe that it is impossible.
Okay.
And I actually think that we are about to see some great improvement here in Texas. I don't think we're going to have full-blown legalization here, but well, it's not for a few years, but I think what we can get is medical marijuana very soon. I really think we can. We have some stronghold regions in Texas that really support it. The metro areas do. Austin is a big one. And a good thing about Austin being a huge supporter of this is it is so easy to mobilize people. It's so easy to take people to let them know that this is a big thing, and we can get them at the Capitol, and we can get them fighting and getting their voices heard. So we've already had some bills introduced as well with regards to this. In my personal prediction, I say within the next 2 to 6 years, and maybe even this year, we will at least see some progress being made with medical marijuana, or at least some criminal justice reform to change some of the ways we respond to marijuana and possession of marijuana, perhaps. I know there were some talk about having drug courts, and I don't know if that's really something we're going to get behind at this point in time, but I really do think that medical marijuana is something that can come in Texas very soon, because people in Texas, we like our freedom. Whether it's marijuana, whether it's the Second Amendment, we just want to do what we want on our property and not hurt anybody, right? That's how we are in Texas. That's how we are as libertarians. So we're trying to draw that parallel. And, I really do think that the future is very bright for marijuana legalization in Texas.
Let's talk about the right to try. And the right to try, of course, for those who are listening that don't know, what is the right to try? The right to try what?
The right to try experimentative medications. You know, the FDA has been so bad about the regulations here in the United States. And really, I blame the FDA and I blame the government for our such poor advances when it comes to medical care. When you have the right to try, you can try these experimental drugs, medications. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, if you have a condition that doesn't have a consistent medication that's been proven and works, and you're just left there, you don't really have a chance. So right to try is very important because it gives people a shot. And frankly, if you try it, we're more likely to find medications and solutions that work. And then we can build on that and come to real cures for many diseases and many conditions. So that's why the right to try is so important. But it just comes to keeping people healthy in the United States. Mm-hmm. But also, it's the basic freedom of you should be able to own your mind, own your body, and put in it as you see fit, right?
And that makes sense. I mean, what we see right now, you know, I've talked to so many folks across the country that have told me some of these horror stories where there'll be a drug that's in basically final phase testing. And what that means is the only thing that's left is to deal with regulation. And the person has 6 months left to live without the drug, but the government says, no, you need to wait for 3 years before you can try this drug. And the person's like, where the hell's the sense in that? I'm not gonna be dumb, I'm gonna be dead in 3 years. Let me try it now while I can. And I think there's a lot of states that are doing what you guys are doing in Texas, which is fighting for that just fundamental right and just basic scientific common sense. We know that every drug we use today was an experimental drug at one point, and that's a fact. What are some of the other big areas right now going on in Texas, or that you guys are doing with Liberty Viral or with TLR?
Well, in Texas, like I said, we're still working on election reform and looking to make things better. But we have a few talks for coalitions with the Green Party, the League for Independent Voters, and other groups to really make some progress here. With Liberty Viral and TLR, here's the thing, and I'm so passionate about this. There's two different sides to bringing real progress to our movement, right, and our party. First, there's the fundamental side, right, the fundamental progression from within the party, right? And what I've done here is, so let me tell you a story, Arvin. So I go to our SLUG meeting, and this is the executive for the Libertarian Party of Texas. I was just a volunteer campaign coordinator at the time. There were six of us and no political action director. And I gave a report for my department. I basically gave a rundown of what we were doing. But I just gave a report, right? I was a simple volunteer. And I hear from executive committee members that they had not even heard who their designated campaign coordinator was. They had no idea. They had no idea. So I thought this was really bad. And I talked to some people because, you know, the Libertarian network is incredible. It is so incredible. So I talked to some people I know at Vote Different and other Libertarian organizations. And what I'm planning to do is I'm going to bring all of these resources together, and I'm going to create a database in Texas for our Texas candidates, right, of media contacts, of people who can make websites, like website developers, campaign organizers, volunteers, etc. So I want to have that at easy access for our candidates so they can have all of the tools they need to succeed, right? So that's one part of it. And then the other part of our success is reaching out to people who aren't libertarians, or even taking the Facebook libertarians who aren't necessarily active, but, you know, they like the memes, and trying to mobilize them and try to mobilize them and try to get them active as well. So I'm really passionate about the writing. I very recently became the associate editor for TLR. Before that, I was just a writer there, and I was associate editor for Liberty Viral for a little bit, and I still am. And we have so many great writers there and so many great and talented people. So, and what we've done is really incredible. We reach hundreds of thousands and millions of people per month. It's really incredible. So we really got to keep doing that. We got to keep trying to reach people. We got to get people excited and let them realize that this is a movement. This is something to believe in. And I want us to have that, you know, that Bernie Sanders effect, in a sense, mm-hmm. right? To where people just bought in, they got excited, and they just went with it, right? So going back to a previous episode of yours, you talked about your admiration for President Obama. Now he was such a great speaker and great leader. I think we all need to work on our qualities and work on having that type of skill when it comes to advocating our message. Because to quote, I forgot who it is, but I think it might have been Austin Peterson who said this, but I heard this, is that the Libertarian Party has the best products, but often just the worst salesmen. And it's not because they're bad people. They are so great, but we can't figure out what we want to do. And the party is so fractured in so many different areas. We really need to come together. We need to realize that we got to bring people in, and we got to work on what we have. So, and I really think that people are coming to this realization, and I'm really excited for this, to tell you the truth, Arvin. I think 2018 is going to bring a lot of progress. I think 2020 is going to be a great year. I'm very excited, and that's for Ted and for National.
And I definitely hope to see that happening. Grant, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Guys, we just finished talking with Grant Deltz. He's the associate editor of the Libertarian Republic and Liberty Viral. He's also the political action director for LP Texas. You can see what LP Texas is doing. I mean, they managed to retain ballot access, which was a very, very difficult challenge. You can see the amazing stuff they're going to be doing in 2017, 2018. Learn more. Grant, what is the if you're still on, what's the website for LP Texas?
I believe it's LP and then Texas, TEXAS.org. I'm at my laptop right now. Let me make sure this is correct. Yes, it is. LP and then TexasWrittenOut.org.
Excellent. Now, guys, if you want to also get involved in your own state, first step is to go to LP.org. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Have you found the beauty inside of you? Join Bonnie Bonadeo each week for Beauty Inside and Out. We'll explain how beauty plays a part in everybody's lives. Our guests are makeup artists, hairdressers, and doctors. But we'll also feature holistic and wellness specialists and spiritual advisors. You can find that beauty inside and express it to its fullest on the outside. Tune in to Beauty Inside and Out every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Why do some people seemingly make the same mistakes when it comes to love and relationships? What is the best way to find love? Make a visit each week to Destination Love. Host Shelley Pumphrey will bring what you need to know to find love. No, it's not about the next fad, dating site tips, scoring the first date, or looking your best. Rather, it's empowerment, knowing that your authentic self works best and the science behind finding love. Destination Love is live Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. Now, so many people are excited right now because of Trump's executive order that is functionally rescinding some aspects of the individual mandate. And let's talk about what that actually is. First, the mechanics of it. The first thing that he's done is told the Department of Health and Human Services to basically give anybody who asks an opt-out. So anybody can say, like, listen, I'm under hardship. I don't want to buy an Obamacare-approved insurance, so I'm opting out. Now, that doesn't sound like it's a big deal, because that's saying, well, wow, what's so good about that? Well, here's what's good about that. As a former actuary, I have a lot of experience on two types of insurance. One, car insurance, and the other one is health insurance. Now, I worked in car insurance. Now, the thing about car insurance is this. If you own a car, you're basically driving around in a land missile. You're driving around in a thing that can do just an humongous amount of damage. You can hit a person, you can hit a bus, you can cause an accident, you can cause damage to property, to life. The amount of liability that a person driving a car presents is enormous. Damage to your own car is actually a very small part of the insurance. The risk of insurance is what you could do to somebody else. You know, all the medical payments, all that kind of stuff, that's a huge risk. And yet we never hear of anybody trying to go broke paying for car insurance. People don't really ever say, man, how am I going to afford these car insurance bills? In fact, what we usually see is, you know, all these commercials say, like, hey, look how little I pay for car insurance. Why is that? Why is car insurance simpler? It's because in car insurance is not as tightly mismanaged by the government. See, in car insurance, you can let the person insure what they want to and not insure what they don't want to. You can insure mechanical breakdown, or you can decide not to. You can insure your car against storms or not. You can insure yourself against medical injury or not. I mean, you have a lot of choices. And because of that, you can lower your cost by quite a bit. Now, the fact is, you could actually, in a full insurance market, and forget about even the market reforms. Larry Sharp, one of the great libertarian candidates, is talking about market reforms, and he's exactly right. We're going to talk about that too. But let's talk just about just simple, easy insurance reforms. Simple, simple stuff. Imagine that you say, listen, I don't like exercising. I don't like eating right. But you know what? I'm willing to do it if I can save myself a few hundred dollars a year. What if you said, listen, I'm willing to go and get one of these like ridiculous caliper tests. I hate the idea of it. But if I can save myself a grand a year, I'm willing to do it. What that does, it gives you the option of reducing your medical risk, you know, through voluntary action, and thus paying lower insurance. It's a very, very easy thing to do. The only problem is right now regulations are getting in the way. Let's say you're the type of person that says, you know what? I really, really hate having to concentrate. I can't. I hate concentrating. I love just playing video games and all that. I just don't want to have to concentrate. But you say, listen, you know what? I'm willing to work on concentrating a lot. I'm going to practice every day. I'm going to get so good at concentrating that you can't even believe it. And that way I don't have to worry about covering things like Adderall and Concerta. Not that you think they're bad. You're saying I'm willing to go without them and not have my insurance cover that. Well, that means you could have insurance that doesn't cover that type, those type of medicines. You might say for religious reasons that you don't want your insurance to cover particular types of surgery. Again, your insurance wouldn't cover that. So you end up just covering the few things that you want to have covered. Maybe you are a very, very religious person who doesn't believe in birth control. Well, you don't have to have that covered either. So what that lets you do is pay for just the risk. And when it comes down to it, I know people say, oh my God, health insurance is like such a huge risk. It's not. Not compared to car insurance. Nobody, because of what they did to their own health, has ever like knocked out an entire bus of school children. Car insurance should be the expensive one, because you can do so much damage with your car to so many other people. Health insurance should be the cheap one. It's not, because we're not letting it be. And so just with these insurance reforms, just with, you know, if Trump takes this, goes past this first step and gets rid of the mandate, because the mandate right now says you need to have not just insurance, but Obamacare improved insurance, then that has to cover all these things. Whether you want them covered or not, you have to pay for them. But if you could just get whatever insurance you wanted, you could pay a lot less. Now, it doesn't stop there, because, yeah, with doing just that, insurance could be $15, $20 a month, because you're only covering a pretty small amount of risk. again, with you, when you hurt yourself, you don't also hurt an entire school bus full of children. Your body is not a dangerous weapon the way that your car is. Your body, if you threw your body against a bus, it's not going to hurt the bus. So the key thing that's so important over here is that just by deregulating insurance, we can save a lot of cost. But it doesn't stop there. What if medicines weren't protected with border protections? What if doctors didn't have these weird border protections? What if instead of having to buy American-produced medicines, you can do with medicines what you already do with your electronics? See, it's not that electronics are easy to put together. Most of us don't know how to assemble a mobile phone or even a regular phone. We buy phones from other countries not because we think that, you know, that they have some special ability, because we just rather pay less. Many of us who are multi-billionaires, we only buy things that are made in America, and that's totally fine. Many of us who are very patriotic also buy things only made in America. But realistically, most of us buy some things that are very, very technologically intense from other countries. We could be doing the same with medicines. I mean, something like an EpiPen, which is basically a syringe attached to a spring, is something that could realistically be manufactured by the same factories or less skilled factories than the ones that make iPhones. It's not the most advanced technology in the world. And if we could start doing that, we could lower the prices of medicines. We could take it to an even farther level. We could take it even farther than we're already taking it. Right now, if you want to get surgery from the best surgeon in Switzerland, you have to go to Switzerland. Why? That man or woman, it's not allowed to practice surgery in America, not unless he or she is going to redo the entire residency. The other catch is, of course, if you're from another country, it's pretty hard to get a surgical residency in the U.S. You can often get an internal medicine residency, but if you want to get a neurosurgery residency, it's nearly impossible if you're not an American citizen. What if we got rid of that restriction? What if we said, listen, if you want an American-trained doctor, you can go to an American-trained doctor. If you'd rather save some money, go wherever you like. If you'd rather go to a Swiss-trained doctor, go to a Swiss-trained doctor. Rather go to a British-trained doctor, knock yourself out. It's your body. Do what you want with it. It's your body. Find the person that you think is the most qualified or presents the best cost ratio to deal with the situation. Sometimes, for minor things, you might not really need the most advanced and elaborate care in the world. Sometimes you might want a care that's more elaborate and advanced than what's realistically available in the United States. The really nice thing, one of my favorite things, by the way, of getting rid of this border protection is that it also gets rid of some of the insane college costs that we have right now. Many Americans go to college because they want to go to medical school. They want to go to medical school because they want to become doctors. So they have to pay U.S. doctor rate, the U.S. college rates to get to U.S. medical school so they can get U.S. residencies. It's really the only way to get a surgical residency. But what if we got rid of that? What if we said, listen, you could go to study in England. You could study in Switzerland. You can study in Canada. You can study wherever you want and come practice surgery as long as you can get customers. That's up to you. Imagine what that's going to do. That means that colleges won't be able to have this stranglehold that they have right now. They won't be able to constantly push up the costs. We'll have so many smart kids saying, listen, I don't really want to deal with this. Any college will tell you, that any, especially the very competitive ones, will tell you that the majority of incoming college freshmen, sometimes a strict majority, sometimes a huge plurality, are there because they want to be pre-med. Many of them change their minds. But imagine if those kids that were pre-med didn't have to go to American colleges. What's that going to do to American college tuition? My guess, lowered a lot. The other great thing when we get rid of these insane regulations is that those doctors right now, and right now Americans do go, they do what we now refer to as medical tourism, right? They do go to other countries. They do actually get involved they do actually travel to other countries just so that they can get medical services that other countries are just better at, or sometimes just cheaper, or they just like it for whatever other reasons. Right now, if you go to Switzerland to get surgery, guess what happens then with that money that you paid? It gets spent in Switzerland. And that's great for Swiss businesses, it's not really that good for American businesses. If that Swiss doctor didn't have to, could move to America, and some would, not all, but some, if some of those Swiss doctors could move to America, practice surgery here, guess what they would do then? They would go to restaurants in America, clothing stores in America, schools in America, movie theaters in America. All of that business and money would be going to American businesses, creating American jobs. See, right now, by keeping foreign doctors out, we're just keeping jobs out. Not just medical jobs, jobs that are related to anything that a doctor might do. I have a few friends who are doctors. My mom's a doctor. They do a lot of different things. They have different hobbies, and every one of those hobbies can help create American jobs. They have different necessities. Doctors also need to eat, and that creates American jobs, both in grocery stores, farming, and marketing, transportation. There's so many jobs that are being created, or that could be created, if we just allowed some of those doctors to come over here. Instead of creating jobs in those countries, we could be creating jobs for ourselves in this country. It's not that hard to do. It just requires just changing a couple laws, just saying that any doctor can practice medicine in America who's gotten the appropriate training. We could start off, if you wanted to play it extra safe, by just having reciprocal agreements with just a few countries. We could say if you are trained in England, Germany, or Switzerland, or Japan, or pick whatever five countries are known to be the best, then you can practice medicine here. As the price goes down, I'm sure the whole country will be clamoring for more and more lack of restrictions. The first step to improving medical care here is to get rid of some of the insurance mandates. And to my great surprise, Trump has already started doing that. Let's see if he can take it the full way. Let's see if the Republicans in Congress will actually stick up for it and actually completely get rid of the mandate. I hope that they do. I will be surprised if they do. But if they don't, or if you just want to give them a little bit of extra encouragement, scare them a little bit so they do the right thing, so they actually do a thing that's actually part of their own party platform. We don't need to make them do something that they don't already supposedly agree with. Let's give them a little bit of extra pressure. And the way to do that, get involved in the Libertarian campaign. If you want to make somebody work, you know, put a little heat on them. If you're ready to do that, please go to lp.org. Go to lp.org/states. See how you can get involved. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
We know that you're looking for more. You want a more fulfilling life and don't know how to free yourself from the proverbial rut. Tune in to Wake Up and Listen with co-hosts Don Burnett and Dr. Don. With engaging discussion and some fun too, Don and Dr. Don will help you bring harmony into your life, improve your relationships, release those fears, and get you unstuck. Wake Up and Listen can be heard live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a pet parent? If so, you'll want to stay up to date on the latest tech gadgets and advances for your canine or feline friend. With a ton of apps, websites, tech toys, and more, you'll want to be in the know when it comes to the real treasures and the duds. For that information, listen for Pet Lover Geek with host Lorian Clemens. We test and discuss what's hot and what's not on the pet front, so you'll be better informed. Tune in Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. My next guest is Tracy Baker. She's running for Norman City Council, Ward 7 in Oklahoma. She's also the former Gary Johnson state volunteer coordinator, and she's also the secretary for Outright Libertarians. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about some of the issues that are at the center of your campaign. I want to talk about transparency. What are some of your overall views on transparency, and how do you see that coming forward?
Well, I believe that a government should be absolutely 100% transparent to its people if it's going to exist and govern over them. And I feel that in recent months, some of the illegal actions taken by the city council definitely don't reflect transparency in government, and I'd like to be elected and change some of those.
What are some of the changes that you have in mind? Are there any specific ones, or is it more of an overall approach?
Well, it's an overall approach. You see, the election was set illegally for this specific election in order to protect incumbents. And because of that, I was almost kept off of the ballot. My opponent tried to have me kicked off the ballot because the eligibility requirement was changed, and it made things complicated due to the illegality of the election.
What's especially interesting about that is you're from a state that has one of the just worst track records of fairness and open elections. And I mean, what are some of the things that we've seen in Oklahoma over the last few years?
Well, we've seen a really large amount of government corruption. And of course, the keeping third parties off the ballot. We just recently got ballot access, and our probable governor candidate, Rex Lawhorn, who's been on this show, sued for ballot access a couple years ago unsuccessfully. Third parties have notoriously been kicked off the ballot in Oklahoma specifically.
And it's especially, of course, historic because just last year was really the first time in, I think, 20 years that the Libertarian Party was able to achieve ballot access, you know, for the work of so many folks on the ground in Oklahoma. I want to talk a little bit about some of the other issues that are that you're talking about. Let's talk about taxes a little bit. I mean, that's always at the front of people's mind. What are your views on how the tax structure should be different in Oklahoma?
Well, in Oklahoma as a whole, excuse me, you cut out a bit there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying either in Oklahoma as a whole or in the particular district and city that you're running in.
Well, I'll talk a little bit about specifically Norman. So Norman has one of the higher sales taxes in the state of Oklahoma. It's about 4.5%. That is sales tax in Norman alone. I'd like to lower that specifically. But there's also a lot of little taxes, fees, and licensing requirements all across the city that I'd like to get rid of. You have to pay $3 every time you use a credit card in the city of Norman. Every time.
Wow.
That's something I would definitely like to get rid of. I think it's absolutely ridiculous, especially in a day and age where so many people are paying with credit for sake of convenience. I think it's something that definitely needs to be removed from the city of Norman. That's definitely the antithesis of personal freedom and economic freedom.
There's also, you have to pay
$20 to...
I was going to say, if you are elected, would you be willing to sponsor legislation or sponsor rule changes to that effect?
Of course. I would definitely be willing to sponsor ordinances to repeal fine and licensing requirements and taxes of that nature.
One of the biggest types of economic freedom, at least in my opinion, is the freedom to do whatever you want with your property as long as you're not hurting somebody else. So in other words, if you're doing something that's not like, you know, blowing up your property and spilling a bunch of toxic waste, I mean, just normal things. But unfortunately, in many parts of the country, that's not how it is. That even if you want to do some just totally normal standard economic business or whatever, you're subject to all kinds of laws that really get in the way of economic growth. They get in the way of jobs. They get in the way of prosperity. What are some of your views on some of those zoning issues, and what would you do differently?
There are two specific issues that I'm looking to work on. First of all is this issue of special zoning privileges that's been going on in Norman. If you want to run a business out of a residential zone, you have to go before the city council and petition for it. A couple weeks ago, there's a city council meeting where a woman wanted to run a law office out of a home she had purchased on a corner. Just a law office, not even going to renovate the property, really. And she only barely was allowed the special privilege to run a law office out of property she owned. I'd like to do away with that, first of all. But second of all, there's a large rural area in the city of Norman, where you can't have a business. You actually can't run a business or a restaurant or a clothing store or anything like that in the rural area around Lake Thunderbird in the city of Norman. I'd like to repeal that specific issue so that economic growth can flourish around that area, which is desperately in need of businesses.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's like such a strange practice. We've seen practices like that all over the country where they're saying, listen, we don't want jobs here. We don't want convenience here. We don't want any of that. So we're going to keep businesses out of this area. But that hurts everybody. I mean, nobody benefits from a lack of economic productivity. What has been some of the response that you've been getting? I mean, have people been understanding the benefits of this, or is it at a level where people are not just there yet, but hopefully they will be there soon?
Well, the Republicans and Independents I've been able to talk to about economic issues have been pretty in agreement with myself on property rights and the economic issues. But the Democrats in the city of Norman have been more reluctant and less willing to engage in that sort of decision-making, preferring instead to prefer the historic districts of the city of Norman or environmental protection, even though there isn't really an environmental threat for the issues I'm talking about. They are very much reluctant to get on board with that.
And I think that's something that hopefully will be changing. And we've seen, you know, at the national level, we've seen, you know, record numbers of people registering libertarian, record number of people, you know, getting involved both inside the Libertarian Party and the libertarian movement as a whole. So I definitely do think that is, or at least I hope that's changing, that things are becoming a little bit different. What are some of the, if we think about some of these zoning changes, what are some of the benefits that, you know, let's say you're not somebody who's going to run a law office out of your house. What are some of the benefits that the average citizen's going to see?
Well, in my ward, actually, there's a wonderful little deli that's in the middle of a neighborhood run on a corner. It's called the Midway Deli, and it's one of the most popular restaurants in town. Most of the citizens love it. You get innovation. You get products that consumers are going to love. And you get the convenience of having new and exciting businesses right next door. Those are all wonderful things that I think people would actually love to have. And if you have repeals of those rural areas, zoning restrictions, you can actually put a gas station out there, which there isn't one, for about 30-minute drive out there. Definitely convenient. So you get convenience, better products, and everyone in the end is just going to be a lot happier when you have that sort of private property protection.
Now, the really great thing is a lot of in-home businesses, and you know, I can certainly speak from experience of this. You know, when I first started my own in-home business, it was something that maybe created, you know, benefits from my customers for certain, and it, you know, created economic advantages for myself. But at first, it wasn't really creating jobs for anybody else. But as my business grew, and all that happened, now it's something that creates jobs and opportunities for other people as well. And that's something that I think is really important. You know, those small businesses that are built inside somebody's house are often the first step to creating jobs for so many people later on. And I think that's really good that we're seeing, you know, some folks, especially, you know, fighting for those types of changes. Are there issues right now of personal freedom that are relevant in the city of Norman, or is that more of a state level thing for you guys?
Well, there is quite the level of police militarization in the city of Norman. They just purchased a freaking tank for the Norman Police Department. It's not an actual tank, but it is a military grade vehicle. And there's quite the issue with civil asset forfeiture in the city of Norman, and it's actually personally affected my opponent, who lost $5,000 and is facing 14 felony charges because he was selling glass pipes, which is technically drug paraphernalia under city ordinances. But they stole $5,000 in all of the merchandise in his store, and that's definitely an issue that I will not tolerate if I'm elected.
And I think that's like a really key thing that, you know, as libertarians, we believe in protecting the fundamental personal and economic freedoms of everybody, including our direct political opponents. And I think that definitely shows that we, you know, actually really believe a lot of these ideas. And you're certainly showing that you stand for these ideas in your own actions. Let me ask you this: if somebody wants to learn more about your campaign, if they want to, you know, in the last few minutes maybe get involved, or follow you on social media, or where's the best place for them to go?
I have a Facebook page. It is Tracy Baker for Ward 7. And I'm also quite involved with several libertarian pages on Facebook. I'm really easy to find. Tracy Daniela Baker is my name on Facebook. I'm sure I have several mutual friends with most people who would be willing to look into that and try to find me. So I'm not too hard to find on Facebook.
Absolutely. Tracy, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me, Arvin.
Guys, we just finished talking with Tracy Baker. She's running for City Council, Ward 7, for the Norman City Council. That's in Oklahoma. And now think about all these changes. If you're listening there, you're probably thinking, even if you don't live in Norman, you're probably thinking, oh my God, imagine if I had representatives like that here. Imagine there's someone here who could do those things for me, who could make credit card processing fees lower, who could make my taxes lower, who could allow either me or my neighbors to start businesses, who could allow that next door house to turn into like a nice deli that I could go to every morning, who could turn the other house to be into a law office where I might apply for a job, who could let me turn my house into some kind of great business that might later on employ people. And you're thinking, man, I just want someone like that to move into my neighborhood, into my district, so that person can change the laws the way I want them. Well, guess what? Guess what? I have good news for you. That person already exists in your district. That person already exists in your neighborhood. You know what? That person's living in your house, in your apartment, is sitting in your chair because that person is you. You believe these things. You know these things are right. You know these things are going to help you. They're going to help your neighborhood. They're going to help your community. They're going to help your friends, your family, people you've never met. It's going to help create jobs. It's going to help create products. It's going to make better access to, you know, whether it's something like food or legal service. It's going to help everyone. You can make that happen. And if you want to make that happen, please go to lp.org. Please find out what it takes to run for office. It's not that – you don't need to be a political science major. You don't need to be a lawyer. You just need to be someone who's willing to fight for liberty, who's willing to learn a little bit about actually how to do it, and you're going to get plenty of help. We're here to help you. The national party runs training. Local parties run training. The state parties run training. It's a lot of fun. I've run for office many times. It's one of the best things I've ever done with my own life. I've done in the past. And I'm going to be doing it again in 2018. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We just finished talking with Tracy Baker. She's running for Norman City Council, Ward 7. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune in each week for Monica Phillips and powerful conversations. This is a thought-provoking show for business people, leaders, and entrepreneurs. We'll feature today's thought leaders and industry trendsetters from across several locations and industries. Give yourself permission to be inspired and live a fulfilling life. Be sure to listen to Powerful Conversations live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Where are you getting your advice on buying, selling, or maintaining your most important asset, your home? Is it from a reality show on cable TV, a comparison website, or are you just flying by the seat of your pants and gut instinct? Stop now before you make another move. Tune into Real Real Estate Today with host and realtor Deb Tomorrow. You can't afford to play guesswork when it comes to your new or existing home. Listen every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. Yes, yesterday Trump signed another executive order. This one is actually one that pretty much every past Republican president in recent history has signed, which is saying that if an NGO is working, for in other countries, if they discuss abortion, they can't get federal money. Now, to me, the issue of whether they're discussing abortion or not is irrelevant. I don't think any NGO working in any country should be getting federal money. Now, a lot of these companies or organizations are doing great work. Some of them are doing like very political type work, that some people disagree on. Some people are doing work where, honestly, realistically, no one's going to think it's a bad idea. But the fact that they're doing good work, while we of course appreciate that, doesn't mean that they should be funded through taxation. I mean, taxation means you're taking somebody's property by force. You're not giving them a choice. You're not saying, hey, look at these charities. Which do you want to fund, or do you want to not fund any of them? That's also totally fine. We're saying, listen, these are the organizations that have the right lobbyists, the right grant writers, whatever. They're the ones who are getting the money, and you don't have any choice. And that, to me, is not right. I don't think it's good to create a situation where startup charities are put at such a huge disadvantage. I don't think it's great to put a situation where the average person becomes indifferent to charities because they figure, oh, yeah, the government's going to take care of that. Charity should be an active process. And I want to talk about a totally different way to do charity that I saw in a recent trip to Southeast Asia. It was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. In a largely tourist area, they have these stores where the things that are produced in the stores are produced by people who are being helped by the charity that runs the store. And these are usually women that don't have, in a lot of these countries, they don't have the same opportunities as men. And these charities go in there and they teach them how to run a shop. They teach them how to do the manufacturing of whether it's, jewelry or crafts or spices or whatever. And when you go to one of these stores, you're going to pay a little bit extra. Now, it's not an insane amount extra. It's not like a store only for millionaires. And realistically, anyone can afford it. Any tourist can afford it. For locals, it's a little bit more difficult. And so that means you as a tourist, you can help people in other countries. Because see, that's a thing that we want to do. We want to help people in other countries. But you get to choose. And here's the best thing about those stores. Here's the best thing about those stores, which are functioning as a total alternative to welfare. Because honestly, the infrastructure in a lot of these countries is not going to allow for the idea of a government-run welfare is not going to happen. This is private sector welfare. And you know what the best thing about every single one of the stores is? There's another store right next to it. That if you don't think that this charity is doing a good enough job, its competitor is right there. And so these are literally charities that are competing head-to-head, neck and neck, to get the dollars to help different groups of people. And that to me is an amazing thing. Now, here's the great thing. They're not just giving out help. They're not just saying you buy stuff over here and we're going to give the money to some folks. No, it's not like that. The charities actually lift people up. They teach people how to do this stuff. The people working in the store are the people who are helped by the charity. It's not like you have some people at the front, the charity. It might be people who maybe exist or maybe don't. They're right there. You can talk to them. They'll tell you. They can tell you about their experiences. You can see the hugely positive attitudes. I mean, these are people who've been working hard, who are improving themselves, who are helping others, lift themselves out of difficult situations. And it's an incredible experience. And at the heart of that, what's at the heart of that choice? Because at the end of the day, everybody has a choice to support one of those charities or not. And honestly, most people that go to these countries, they end up supporting one of these charities. They're good charities. You say, listen, fine, I'll pay an extra couple dollars for this, this bracelet or this, these spices. I'll pay a little bit extra. I don't mind paying a tiny bit extra or a lot extra because I know I can see the good that it's doing. So I don't think that it doesn't matter whether to me whether an NGO is discussing abortion or not. I don't think any NGO should be getting federal funds. I think they should be getting private donations only. And that connects us all to that work. It makes us closer and part of this very real community, not just sort of indifferent people who are resentfully being taxed to support something we may or may not agree with. Now, many of the bigger NGOs, they know that they don't really need federal funds. IPFF, that's the international branch of Planned Parenthood. They are doing just what they did with the last Republican president, which was saying, fine, we won't take any federal funds. We're going to keep on doing what we do. They can survive just fine without federal funds. Many of the charities can survive without federal funds. In fact, a lot of the charities that maybe have really good ideas but maybe not really good lobbyists, they're going to be helped by this because now you can support charities voluntarily and you might not care if they have lobbyists. You might be somebody that only wants to support charities with lobbyists, and that's your right. But you know what? A lot of you are going to say, listen, I'm going to support this charity. It's a new charity. It looks like a good idea. I want to help this grow. I think it's great. Now, sometimes people say, well, what about foreign aid in general? What about foreign aid? We need to help. Foreign aid should be given voluntarily. Voluntary foreign aid works. Worked in Haiti. Worked in so many other countries. People gave tens, hundreds of millions of dollars to have given tens or hundreds of millions of dollars to help countries in need. Now, sometimes countries need to raise a whole lot more money. They don't need hundreds of millions of dollars. No, no, no. They need billions of dollars. Now, the good news is there's a way to help countries like that too. And again, it's the free market that really comes to the rescue. The U.S. Virgin Islands, the United States bought that from another country. Just paid cash for it. Many countries have land that they would be willing to sell to either another country or, even better, just a private group of investors. Sovereign territory like that is very, very expensive. But the good thing about that is it's a way to help countries that are, cash-strapped, that are struggling with debt, that don't really have anywhere to turn. That's a good way to help them because they can sell off some sovereign land that they're not really using. No one's living there. It's just empty. Raise a lot of money, and that allows people to start to create their own small kind of private city-states, private countries. Something like Hong Kong, but even more privately run. And that type of a privately run country basically brings the idea of countries, of competition, to the level of countries. We have small private countries competing with big countries the same way that small family-owned restaurants compete with McDonald's. They often give you better food. They often put more pressure on companies like McDonald's to make their food better. It's really a win-win situation. Now, in order to make that happen, it doesn't actually take a lot. It just means that we need to stop blocking it. First step, NGOs shouldn't be involved with the government. They should be doing what they do with private donations, and that's it. Foreign aid, shut it down completely. Every country has plenty of sovereign territory they're not doing anything with. They always have the right to sell that. They can raise just an unbelievably huge amount of money by doing that. Again, that creates the opportunity for small private countries to compete with the large, often stateless countries. Even today, if you look around the world, many of the best-run countries, many of the countries with the highest standards of living, they're small city-states. You know why? It's easier to run a small area well than to run a very large area well. That's why very large areas often not run quite as efficiently. That's why libertarians, even non-libertarians, believe that it's better to leave things to states or better to leave things to counties or even better to leave things to individuals. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm your host, Arvind Vora, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You.
Please join Arvind Vora again next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.